Hey, hey, what's up, kids? You have found the Theoropath Podcast. I'm your host, Xander, and it's time to get witchy. Let's do this. What's up, kids? I know it has been a minute, but it is Xander. I am back, and I do apologize for my absence. Life kind of just gets in the way sometimes. But we are back. This is season 2, episode 13, and we are going to cover Yule. So we're going to be talking about the history of, we're going to be talking about the Oak King, the Holly King. We're going to emphasize a little bit more on the Oak King because this is time of year, and we're going to talk about basically ways to celebrate Yule in both the historical and ancient and modern times. So we're going to be covering a lot of topics. And I do want to apologize for not being as active recently. Again, holidays and things like that have just been, kind of getting in the way. But I also am trying to bring a higher level of quality content. So first of all, I want to thank anybody out there who has been making purchases, buying the virtual tarot card readings, any other things that, they may have acquired and reached out to me for. So, the financial sponsorship obviously means a huge, huge deal to me. But again, even, just the listeners out there, just the likes and the subscribes and everything, they do so much more behind the scenes than you understand. And I am so eternally grateful for all of you. I never raise one above the other. It's, it's gratitude in all forms. So thank you, thank you, thank you. But like I said, one of the reasons that I've been delayed is I have been trying to give, I kind of want to do like deeper dive episodes now, because I almost feel like, we've kind of covered all of the real basic stuff. So at this point, I really want to start getting into like the nitty gritty and like the super deep, like really like hardcore esoteric shit. And I figure that, Yule is basically the beginning of the Wiccan calendar. It is where everything kind of starts. So what better time to introduce this topic and give a whole lot of background and just kind of really combine everything that we've been talking about over these past couple seasons. So grab your favorite beverage of choice, your favorite smoke of choice, if you choose, kick back, relax, and let's do this shit. Hey, I'm Xander, and I'm a tarot card reader with over 30 years of experience. I've helped many people gain insights into their lives and make better choices through tarot card readings. Tarot cards are a powerful tool that can be used to connect your intuition and tap into your subconscious mind. The cards can provide guidance, support, and a clarity on a variety of topics, including relationships, career, finances, and personal growth. I offer private tarot card readings in person or online. My readings are tailored to your specific needs and goals, and I'll work with you to create a safe and supportive space where you can explore your questions and concerns. I'm passionate about helping people, and I believe the tarot cards can be a valuable tool for the self-discovery and growth. So if you're looking for clarity or guidance on a specific issue, I would be happy to help. To learn more about my services, please contact us at ethereal-path.com or at etherealpathpgh@gmail.com or by clicking on any of the links in the show notes below. All right, so where is the first place we're going to begin? Ironically, we're going to begin with the relationship of tarot cards. And I'm sure you're like, what the fuck? Where did that come from? But it also ties into the fact that we have just been talking about tarot cards ad nauseum. But I want to remind everybody that if we were to go with a suit of tarot cards that would be most appropriate for this time of year, it would be the suit of pentacles. Mainly because we are 2 days away from a new moon here, Yule 2023. But we are still like a solid like 11 days out. So it's round about this time that we would be focused on the pentacle magic. And again, if you think about it, Yule, Christmas, Hanukkah, all the celebrations that happen around this time of year are very much about, gift giving, and, there is a monetary aspect to it. So the fact that, the Suit of Pentacles is representative of all that, again, no big surprise there. The second thing that I wanted to talk about, and I just kind of wanted to revisit and touch on real quick, is the masculine aspects of the what is traditionally a feminine religion. Again, we're all very much familiar with the Maiden, Mother, and Crone as, the trio of archetypes for the feminine half of, the Wiccan goddess. But many people aren't as familiar with the Warrior King and the Elder. Now, the Warrior King and the Elder are the three terms that I kind of came across that I really enjoyed, and I thought were the most appropriate, at least in my practice. Now, so this triad, again, as with Maiden, Mother, Crone, even though Maiden, Mother, Crone is like more traditionally accepted, there are many, 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 many hundreds of thousands of variations of Warrior, King, Elder for the male archetype. But I do feel that in the guise of the relationships of the triad inside the god, that he does emerge as a young warrior. He becomes a mature king, but then he eventually morphs into the wise elder, and that's the sort of the period that we're both getting into and getting away from, because there's two aspects of of the god, is in the O King and the Holy King. And it, again, this is where the religion can get, and the principles can get quite complicated, because we're talking about one divine being that is half of a divine whole. And then within that divine being, there are three embodiments of that being, but there's also a duality inside those three embodiments as well. So it's a very, very deep meta complex concept when you really truly break it down. But it's really not that hard to understand. So, it's very easy to understand, but it's very kind of complex at the same time. Like it's not as cut and dry as, most people would make it out to be. So I do want to touch on this idea of the warrior, the king, and the elder for a minute, because it'll make sense into where I'm going with it and how this relates into Yule and everything like that. So when the god is born, it is the warrior archetype. It is the youthful phase of masculinity. It's characterized by courage, action, and a thirst for adventure. He's embodiment of physical strength, the determination, like willingness to go confront challenges and basically be stupid with his friends. Like this is our idiot teenage years, basically, where we think we're fucking invincible and nothing's ever gonna take us down. They say that his spirit is akin to a roaring fire, burning with passion and a desire to prove himself. He's very closely related in Greek mythology to Hercules, who is the epitome of the young warrior archetype because he embodies courage, strength, and the pursuit of personal glory. The 12 labors symbolize the challenges and triumphs of the masculine journey, showcasing the unwavering determination and resilience of this archetype. So basically, this is why Hercules is so, related to the young warrior, and it's that, we believe as young men that, we are invincible and, nothing is going to break us down, and this is legit, like, why we do the stupid shit that we do. But, eventually it's one of those, you've got to break your shoulder like four times before you realize, like, hey, maybe I shouldn't do that again, because let's be real, guys, we're a little fucking stupid, and it's okay because we sort of kind of eventually learn from it. And to all the women out there, I say sort of, kind of, eventually, because I basically tell all my female coworkers who have sons, and it's hysterical because they're all teenage sons, and they're in that, like, stupid shit phase. And they just look at me and I'm like, okay, so as a guy, I can totally relate because I did that exact same shit when I was a kid. Because, me and my buddies were fucking idiots and we thought it was funny as hell. But I was like, sadly, we never grow out of it. And I'm 30 years later, I'm speaking from fucking experience. Like as my husband says, I still find fart jokes funny, it is what it is. Guys are guys. But as we mature, we become this kingly like presence. So the archetype of the mature king represents, the pinnacle of our manhood. So this is when we're grown up, we're embodying leadership, wisdom, the ability to inspire and protect. We are showing our authority, our responsibility, the capacity to make sound decisions about, for the betterment of others. We are confident, we are stable, we have that unwavering resolve, and the parallel that is greatest to this would be King Arthur of Arthurian legend, because he embodies the wisdom, justice, and the ability to unite disparate factions. His reign represents an era of peace, prosperity, and upholding of chivalry, and demonstrating the transformative power of this archetype. So this is the, to be stereotypical alpha male success story who, made his way through the world and brought himself up and is now kind of like living as king. And if you think about it, in a way, while we're all not standing in, a $10 million mansion on, Manhattan's Upper East Side, like we all embody that mature male, archetype someday, especially when most of us become fathers, and we now have this little thing to protect and raise and take care of in this world. And, even though I don't have any children of myself, it's like, I can, having the pops, I can strongly relate to that type of feeling and archetype. Because, you have this thing in your life that it is solely dependent on you. You have to take care of it. You have to, give up a lot of your personal freedoms and a lot of your personal time to, love this thing and, care for this thing and, make sure this thing is safe and protected. And in return, you get this beautiful unconditional love. And it's so, not to sound all cheesy and cliche, especially this time of year, but that is truly what makes a man rich. And I think in a way we can all relate to that. So, even though it's very, stereotypical and can be very, specific in what we think of as, success, especially when it comes to masculinity, which is actually another topic that I really want to just super deep dive into this season, or even maybe next season, because, there is definitely a way to bring back that, masculine archetype that men need in their lives, especially, young men growing up and trying to find their way, but without that toxic masculinity and all that bullshit that comes along with it. But, that being said, eventually we become that wise elder, and this is the archetype that, is the final stage of masculinity. And this is, the old wise man who, embodies the knowledge and wisdom to, guide and mentor. He is very introspective, spiritual understanding. He has the capacity to share wisdom gained through life experiences. His presence is very serene. He's compassionate, has a deep connection to the natural world. In comparison, this is like Odin in North mythology. He is the Allfather. He is the wise elder archetype. He embodies knowledge and wisdom and the ability to see beyond the veil of ordinary perception. His pursuit of knowledge highlights the transformative power of seeking understanding and the wisdom of what we learn through life's experiences, even though it costs him a shit ton. And this can also be seen as, the wise old man in Japanese culture, where he is, or I shouldn't even say Japanese culture. I should even just broaden it to all of Asian culture, because a lot of it crosses over. But that it's the little old man that you had to climb up the stairs of 10,000 steps, and you get up to the very top of the mountain, and there he is, just kind of sitting Indian style, and you get to ask him like one fucking question, but it's being that guy, and it's having that knowledge of, he's climbed those 1,000 steps, so he totally gets it. Like, he fully understands, like what you went through, and that with everything in life, there's a choice, and it comes down to what is true to your heart, and what do you seek most in this world, whether it's that one question of, how do I become the most powerful person in the world, or just what is the key to happiness? Do you think more on a physical, materialistic level, or do you think more on an esoteric, spiritual level? And that's the type of introspection that a lot of people need to do, and especially in the practice of Wicca, and especially being a guy in the practice of Wicca at this time of year. These are things that you really, really need to focus on, or if you feel kind of lost in your practice and you don't really know like what to do or which way to go or where to turn next, these are the kind of areas that maybe you want to take a look at. Maybe you want to do like a aura cleansing or a spiritual rundown with your chakras, and make sure everything's aligned and make sure everything's good, and that there's nothing in there that's blocking you or cording you or binding you or anything like that, and keeping you from living your best life and being the truest you. So it's one of those things that only you can define what it is, but at the same time, like, this is where it relates into this time of year. So with that being said, gonna take a quick break, and then when we come back, we're actually gonna keep this format moving into the background of the Oak King and the Holly King, and then we will be definitely deep diving into Yule itself. And I promise you, this is all building. So just hang in. It's gonna get more exciting as it goes on. I know this kind of feels like a history lesson at this point, but we're getting there. So again, back in a few. Okay, so seriously, what kind of podcast host would I be if I did not put a Christmas plug in, especially this time of year, to try to drum up some business, get in some cash flow, all that happy fun bullshit. So anyway, if you are looking for, virtual tarot card readings, or something fun, different gift idea to give to someone, hit me up, etherealpathpgh@gmail.com. Currently our website and store have been taken down, just for cost issues, and we are revamping the way we are going to be doing our commerce in the future. So actually, right now, the only way to get a hold of me is through email. Some of our social media pages have also been taken down due to certain companies supporting practices that Etherealpath as a company may or may not agree with. But that being said, again, please email us at etherealpath@gmail.com for any needs and any purchasing and any items, especially this time of year. If you're looking for a great creative gift to someone, a virtual tarot card reading is definitely something that they will never forget. I think one of the funniest parts about being me is that I can literally do the dumbest shit sometimes. Like, I just realized that my Do Not Disturb was not on the entire time I was recording. Oops. But I don't think anything came through. Anywho, that's all right. Actually, I want to get back and listen to all this bullshit anyway. The fun of being a podcast host. Oh, God, I love it. I really do. I should be a voiceover actor. My voice would be really sexy. If anybody out there is listening for some voiceover work, let me know. Hit me up. So anyway, let's talk about the Oak King and the Holly King. Not to hide anything, and for full disclosure, again, I have used some AI software to help produce the material and content for this episode. Because again, if you go back to the episode of, basically how to be a Wicca or a Wiccan in 2023, and like the fusion of like AI technology and the practice of Wicca is just absolutely fascinating me. I ran a couple scripts through, ChatGPT and Bard just to kind of see, what it would kick back at me, and it came back with some good stuff. What I absolutely love though is I was looking for how to put together the O King and the Holly King, and how to like, tell the story very cohesively, and it wrote this like essay, and I absolutely just fucking love this title. And it's The Oak King and Holly King, a symbiosis of light and darkness. I'm like, okay, first of all, for all the like, linguistic grammar nerds out there, like that is just a beautiful title. And second of all, like you can so tell that is AI generated. Literally, who the fuck speaks like that? But anyway, so let's actually talk about who the fuck these two people are. So they are again a dual version of the god who is being reborn at Yule. Now the O King and the Holly King, I don't want to get into the habit of thinking in terms of light and dark, because they are not representative of light and dark. They're actually two different sides of the same coin. So keep that in mind as we go through this. There is interplay between light and dark, but it's more of because they are essentially the same person, just two in one. So it's the cyclical nature. Think more through like rhythms of life. So it'll make more sense as we go on. But like, so okay, so the O King, we basically herald him at Yale. He's the essence of light, vitality, and growth. This is the rain from the winter solstice to summer solstice. Okay, so basically this is the period of, life. The days are getting longer, nature flourishes, we're celebrating all the good stuff, hence the reason Yule is such a big holiday in the first place. It also symbolizes, the strength and the courage that, we made it through the winter, and we're gonna survive, and that the creative life force is returning, and the O King just embodies all the happiness and potential possibility and everything that's out there in the universe. Okay, now the Holly King basically comes out at Mabon, and this is the autumnal equinox usually. Or not usually. This is the autumnal equinox. And basically the Holly King looks over the darker half of the year until the star, which is the spring equinox, okay? And his rule is the season of waning light. So this is when the darkness is increasing, the days are getting shorter, we're transitioning into winter. So basically this is the season that is quickly coming to an end. The Holly King embodies mystery, introspection, transformation. It also embodies transformative focus and presence in the universe, and it's very enigmatic. Now it's really that the relationship is what we want to highlight here, because it underscores the symbiosis of nature and the opposing forces. So again, using light and darkness, and again, I want to use this very sparingly, but they are independent of each other, but they are both essential for life. Because if we didn't have light and dark, our circadian rhythm would not know when it's time to be awake, when it's time to be asleep. And we know now like exactly how beneficial sleep is, and basically without sleep, we would literally go insane. So the O King is more looked at for vitality and growth, where the Holly King is more looked at like period of rest. So again, the O King is going to be that very young, masculine, virile, this, and again, this is, the time of his birth. So this is the, section it would be in. But the part that is phasing out is the elder part, basically, because, we're getting into The elder is going away because, that time of introspection and that time for, darkness and shadow and, it is gone because once the winter solstice hits, the days are going to start becoming longer. Winter's going to be, getting, quote unquote, coming to an end, even though we're like 3 months away from fucking spring. But it's, the days are getting longer. The year is starting over. It's only going to get better from here. So it's a very, very happy time. And this is why there is so much celebration. And, this is why there's parties all the time. And it feels like, we're jumping from, Christmas party to Christmas party or, holiday party to holiday party, whatever, you happen to celebrate or, represent in your life. And hell, I celebrate both Christmas and Yule. So it's like, I'm definitely, I got a couple of feet in both camps, so it's all good. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that because, again, you can believe what you want to believe in. You have every right to decide which path is the right path for you to walk. But in addition to what everything that the Holly King and the O King represent, this is also very significant because they serve as mirrors to our own personal growth and the human experience. And basically, the way it works, is okay. So if you think about it this way, the Holly King is, or the O King is going to be born in at Yule into his, warrior form. And he'll take on his king form at Beltane when he takes over, and and basically because or when the Holly King basically takes over, and we work towards, this moment where, he fully becomes the Holly King, and the period is ended. And it's that, the whole purpose and whole point of it acting like a mirror is that, the thinking is during the darker times and during the times of introspection and again, shadow for just lack of a better term, that you're looking internally, you're doing a lot of introspective work, you're looking at your own shadows within, and you're finding things that need to be worked on, areas of your life that you may want to improve, things like that. And then now is kind of like the time where you wrap up doing the work and doing that introspection and taking action and focusing on all that, and it's basically time to let loose and celebrate everything that you have accomplished. So again, it's another reason why we celebrate so much this time of year because there are so many things to celebrate. And in a perfect world, that would be one of them, would be that you came out of this period of introspection and growth, and you actually were able to grow as a person or work on and fix things that you wanted to take care of in your own life. And, so wrapping up, basically the whole teaching of what we're supposed to learn from the story of the O King and the Holly King is basically, it circles back to, the mythological symbolism that we're kind of always talking about of, life ebbs and flows, and it's basically it's how to navigate them and understanding how the cycles of everything work, like whether it's the cycles of the year, the cycles of the seasons, periods of growth and decline, of vitality, of introspection, getting an awareness of these natural rhythms and becoming more accepting of them and becoming more in tune with them, and it's one of those things where you can even feel in, I'll even go back to the old, nursing joke, hashtag here comes the disclaimer. Nothing that has ever said in, on this podcast is to be construed as medical advice. Please, consult your own healthcare team if you have any questions about anything. And no, I do not recommend consuming anything that you hear about or read about in Wicca. makeup, period. But anyway, that all being fucking said, unless it's a food product, like if you buy it from the grocery store, then you're cool. But like if you like don't fucking run around and like, you know, find twigs in the woods and like make them into like tea and shit. Like if yeah, that's on you, boo. Like you do you. But you know, but seriously, it's like, you know, it's one of those, you know, I'll find times where, you know, I'll get this feeling of like, oh, I, you know, I need to do a tarot card reading, or I need to do, you know, like there's some sort of like magic work I need to do, and I can't quite figure out what it is. And, you know, I'll take a minute and it's like, let me just, you know, sit quietly for just, you know, maybe 5 minutes, not even. Sometimes it only just takes a couple seconds even. It's just like, you know, let me just sit here. Let me figure out what the hell it is that I even need and kind of let the universe guide me. Is it more introspective? Is it more outwardly? Is it I'm going to be crafting some big fucking altar, which, you know, I have done many, many times in the past? Or am I going to be doing something, you know, very simple that I can just, you know, throw together on my altar and, you know, in my chalice real quick and just, you know, burn a couple herbs, say a couple words, and, you know, boom, I peace and out. So it all kind of depends. But anyway, that's really the lessons from the O King and the Holly King. So again, the biggest thing to take away is that this is the time of the year for the birth of the O King. So we are in that, you know, masculine, super happy, yay, you know, this is why, you know, Yule is such a celebratory time because it is the rebirth of the god, and it's basically the, you know, we're celebrating the return of light to the world, and everything, like I said, you know, is going to get better because that is just the way, you know, as the light comes back to the world, you know, it's going to get warmer, the days are going to get longer, you know, the earth's going to turn green again, yay, we survived the winter, even though, you know, it's not the 1600s anymore, but you get the picture. So when we come back, we are finally going to dive into Yule itself and talk about what it means as a Sabbat. Are you ready to unlock the secrets of your life's journey? Do you seek clarity, guidance, and a deeper understanding? Welcome to The Ethereal Path, where we guide you and invite you to embark on a transformative journey. Having read tarot cards for over 30 years, Xander is here to help you gain profound insights into your life and help you make better decisions and connect with your intuition. Through the magic of tarot, you can tap into your subconscious mind, unlocking the wisdom that lies within you. Join our satisfied clients who have found guidance, support, and clarity in their lives through our tarot card readings. Explore your questions and concerns with us. Whether it's matters of the heart, career choices, or personal growth, tarot offers a guiding light on your path. Visit our website at www.ethereal-path.com or email us at etherealpathpgh.com to learn more. Gain the insights you need to make those confident decisions and uncover the mysteries of your own personal journey. Alright, let's fucking talk about Yule. Yo, so what is Yule? Yule is the time of the winter solstice. It is super, super important to Wiccans because as one of the eight Sabbats in the Wheel of the Year, it basically is the rebirth of the sun and the return of light because the darkest time of the year is over. So the origins of Yule can be traced back to pagan culture. We can actually go way, way back on this one, and we will. Pre-Christian times, various civilizations, including the North Celtic and Germanic peoples, observed this celestial event with rituals and festivities. The solstice is represented as a pivotal moment because the sun appears to stand still before it gradually starts to ascend again. It symbolizes the triumph of light over darkness. The Norse celebration of Yule, which is pronounced as Jule, it spans 12 days, during which there is a lot of feasting, gift giving, honoring of the gods, and the Yule log is a prominent symbol that is burned to herald the return of the sun's strength, banish any negative energies. If you are familiar with the concept of smudging, then you will know exactly what I'm talking about. And the tradition symbolizes the circle of life and death and rebirth. And again, so, you know, you think about the, you know, forest fires, you know, yes, massive, massive amounts of forests have to burn to the ground, but out of that burn burning becomes new life, and that's the way it works. You got to burn to the ground to start all over sometimes. When Christianity kind of became a thing, a lot of pagan customs basically got assimilated into Christian festival or festivities, which again was kind of like the springboard for this whole podcast in the first place. And this is the one time a year where a lot of shit got stolen by the church, just saying. Especially when it comes to the thing that Yule is very heavily represented by, oh, say, evergreen trees and wreaths and giving of gifts. Like, does any of this sound familiar? But in modern Wicca, it's a special place because it's the time of looking at that introspection, looking at what you did, celebrating the return of light, celebrating the renewal, and it is the Sabbath of the rebirth of the god being born in the into the winter solstice, and Mother Earth is honoring her nurturing presence with the goddess. So whether you celebrate as an eclectic independent, or whether you work as a coven, again, there are a lot of rituals that happen during Yule. Many people decorate their altars with symbols of the season. Ironically, candles, holly, mistletoe, evergreen plants, again, sound familiar. But this is what the symbols of Yule are. And Wiccan rituals often focus on letting go of the old. Setting intentions for the coming year. So it's basically, Christmas and New Year's rolled into one. We're welcoming the light back. It's a time for getting all that energy hyped up, and some covens even invoke the elements because this is such a high Sabbat. Especially, it's they're expressing their gratitude over the past year, embracing the opportunities for growth and the transformation of the year ahead. So let's rewind a little bit and let's talk about how Yule was basically celebrated pre-Christian. So I'm probably gonna totally mispronounce this because it is of Gaelic and or it is of Gaelic, and if I do mispronounce it, I'm totally sorry, but I believe it's Albin Arthun. But it's also referred to as Winter Nights in Gaelic lore. In the Germanic Yule, it is, Jule, Yule, Yuletide, among the Germanic cultures. And it is a time-honored celebration of observances that are deeply rooted in the symbolism of the winter solstice. These celebrations reverberate with the echoes of antiquity, weaving together the intricate tapestry of humans' connections to the cosmos, the cyclical rhythms of nature, and the eternal dance between darkness and light. The solstices are very, very powerful because this is where, one basically becomes more prominent than the other. Because if you think about it, on the equinoxes, the literal term equinox is equal for light of equal light and day. So, the days are of exactly the same, the day and the night are of exactly the same length on the equinox, but in the solstices, one is more prominent than the other. So, this will be the shortest day of the year. And the reason we celebrate that is because, again, the very next day will be longer, and then the next day will after that will be even longer, and so on and so forth until we get to, the summer solstice. So that's really where we're celebrating, the cyclical nature. So it was really started to be celebrated on the eve's longest night. So really, the night before, and the night is to be celebrated, not to be shunned or to be scared of, but it is to be revered. And the way that was overcome is that, a lot of bonfires were lit. This basically, lit up the earth. It also, emerged, forming, very potent symbols of solar rebirth because of the crackling flames and as they dance across the night sky. So they also were a symbolism of renewal, like we said before, and of hope and of optimism and of rebirth. And every flicker and ember and every part of that fire, and if you look at the way fire crackles and why we're so mystified by it, it basically is a, it's supposed to be almost like fluid, like water, where it's a, each crackle and flame and, each flicker is supposed to be a reminder of the victory of light over the wintry shadows. That even though, something may come like a little gust of wind or even like a raindrop or, something like that may come along, the fire is not going to be beaten by this. And it also forms a very communal spirit because, when you think of bonfires, most people gather around bonfires, everyone, cuddles up to like warm up basically, and what usually ends up happening, you end up feasting. So again, friends and family get together, there's usually a, a banquet full of food, because, we're basically, celebrating the fact that, we're going to be able to, start at the harvest again. We're refilling both our physical and spiritual bodies by, satiating the body with food, to not only nourish our bone, our bodies, but our souls as well. So the essence of Albin Arthen also intertwines the narrative of the Holly King and the Oak King, where it is the Holly King who is the ruler of the winter months. He yields that the Holly King or that the Oak King is now going to ascend to the throne, and the gradual sun's resurgence and luminance is what the Oak King is all about. So it basically again mirrors that cycle of life of the struggle between darkness and light, and now it's the time for light to take over. So in a way, now the Germanic version of Yule ties in because it's a 12-day celebration. It's a very Norse, Saxon, Anglian, and Frisian holiday, and again, rich tapestry of festivity and spiritual profundity. So, which it goes back to the Yule log because that is at the heart of what Yule is celebrating. So it's actually decked out. They cover it in evergreens, in ribbons, in multiple candles, and as the log ignites, it becomes again that symbol of you've got to burn it to the ground to start all over again. And it's actually tethered very tightly to both Thor and Odin, because in the Norse, the Yule log was actually believed to represent Thor in the Norse religion, or in the Norse religion, the Norse tradition, I should say. But it also was very closely related to Odin in the Norse pantheon, because Odin was depicted as a wanderer, and so the Yule log was seen as actually as a symbol of his journey through the underworld, because basically, it was burning as it was going. So they're really enshrined with the Germanic lore, especially for Yule. And a lot of times, people will even celebrate Yule to this day, even in tying it into, a Christian celebration. So even though, pagans, another thing that, they look in is, Bede, who was a 7th-century monk. He wrote a lot about pagan solstice celebrations in this book, called The Ecclesiastical History of the English People. And he basically described how Anglo-Saxons celebrated the winter solstice by feasting and drinking in bonfires, and how they believed that the sun god Sol was reborn on the winter solstice, and this marked the beginning of the new year. And actually, that the greatest evidence that they found of this was at Stonehenge. And this is one of the times of year where people gather at Stonehenge because, it does that. The whole, I think, I forget, I think the sun rises like perfectly between two stones at this time of year. I can't remember exactly what the whole thing is, but that's basically where, it kind of took off. The Christian faith came along, kind of absorbed a lot into it. I've already, definitely, wink, wink, nudge, nudged a lot of them. So because, Yule was a pagan holiday and it occurred around the winter solstice, which is usually around December 21st, and what's going to happen in a couple days, so. Bonfires, and the lighting of them were, done around people's homes. They were decorated with evergreen trees and wreaths. They were, into the giving of gifts. So basically, this is how, the Christmas tree came about, and this is why we use so much holly, and this is why we, use candles and ornaments and give gifts and everything like that, because this all started from the Yule holiday and all of the Yule customs, and Christianity just kind of, absorbed a lot of it right into it. And same thing with, the practice of burning the Yule log, in paganism. It's, that, not only is the burning of the Yule log symbolic, especially this type of year with, post-Christianization, but it also acts as like a big major smudging. Another thing, again, is the gift giving and the singing of carols, because again, song was originally thought to have pagan origins, that songs were sung to honor the gods. And today, even in some parts of Europe, pagan Yule traditions are actually incorporated into Christian celebrations. So, a couple of examples, in Germany, it is traditional to light a Yule log. That is still common, and it's actually often even blessed by a priest. In the Scandinavian nations, having a Yule tree decorated is still common, and it is often associated with Christian symbols of stars and angels. And those are what are used to really decorate it. So, the prevalence of Yule and a lot of what Yule means is definitely, apparent this time of year. And it's very easy to see how Christianity kind of, evolved and like jumped in and kind of really took that on, and where, we still celebrate basically the same thing even to this day. So much better. Okay, now like I said, great, I'm good. It's like talking and just it's a lot. So let's go into the history of Yule a little bit. So this is actually where Gardnerian Wicca becomes really strongly interplayed. So little history of modern Wicca. There's this guy named Gerald Gardner. He was a British occultist. Basically, he is credited of reviving Wicca in the early 20th century. So a lot of things that we read about, we learn about, we study today is some form of Gardnerian Wiccan. Because he basically is what he's basically the guy who brought Wicca back into the mainstream. But he did kind of change a few things based on his family traditions and his coven traditions and things like that. But basically, he is largely responsible for kind of associating Yule with the beginning of the year. Basically, because he, associated with, Yule, and the burning of the Yule log and the celebration of light. And then another thing that he actually brought into was a ritual of cakes and ale, which is basically to represent the bounty of the earth, the joy of the season. So he kind of stole that, not stole that, but like kind of tied them from like other ancient pagan traditions. So between the feasting and the lighting of the Yule log, the lighting of candles, even, he encouraged the singing of songs and carols. Like, basically the, that us modern day Wiccas, or Wiccas, oh my God, witches, we see this as the start of the year, because again, like kind of like I said, it's basically Christmas and New Year's kind of wrapped up into one. So another thing we have is, there's a little lot of rituals, song, dance, lighting of candles. Again, this is why there are lights on the Christmas tree. We engage in a lot of outdoor activities, building snowmen, going ice skating, skiing, snowboarding, whatever your thing is, because it's a way for us to connect back with nature. Even though this is wintertime, it's cold as hell. Some people love the cold, which I think y'all are crazy because I am a fucking summer boy. But again, this is a great time to get out and really connect with nature, because you're connecting with nature right at the start of the rebirth and right when everything is starting to begin again. So, connecting with nature, meditating, performing rituals, and all, concentrating on the rebirth, the happiness, the reconnection. That is all what is so important. And also, a big tradition in Yule is, sharing stories with family, coven members, friends, things like that. And that even goes back to, why we read the night before Christmas every year, on Christmas Eve, and why that becomes such a big tradition. So, it kind of really depends on what your own, personal beliefs are, but there are still a lot of things that we celebrate as, Christians, or, in the terms, or in the strictest terms of, Christmas celebrations, that do have their roots in paganism. So, there are a lot of things that we do. Again, stringing lights from a Christmas tree represent the fact that they used to, decorate their evergreen trees with candles, or just the fact of having a tree that you decorated. Giving gifts, singing carols, having feasts and parties, and all of that is all very, very pagan, and we associated with, Christianity and Christmas and, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, any other gift-giving holidays that may occur around this time of year. But it really goes back to those ancient, traditions. And it's fascinating to see how much is incorporated again into modern life that is literally straight out of a playbook from the 1800s, And again, that's why I started this podcast in the first place, is to dive deeper into, those things that we do every single day that we don't realize are straight up 100% Wicca. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. I hope you learned a lot about the history of Yule. I've got a lot of really deep dive episodes planned coming up. I am super excited to get them out to you, and I will be getting them out as fast as I humanly possibly can, I promise. But in the meantime, celebrate the new moon. I love the fact that the new moon is right before Yule this year, because, we're basically getting the double whammy of new beginnings, so that it's an awesome thing to focus on, and this is an awesome time to, celebrate those wins and, invite all the new good stuff into your life. So if I don't drop another episode prior to the start of Yule or Christmas or whatever holiday you may happen to believe or practice, or multiple holidays, please enjoy the season, make it the best, and everyone stay safe out there. Make good choices, and remember the law of three. Blessed be. The Ethereal Path podcast is hosted by me, Xander, and is owned by Ethereal Path LLC. The show is recorded, produced, and hosted on Spotify for podcasters. You can find us on the web at www.ethereal-path.com. Don't forget the dash. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and Wisdom as Ethereal Path, and on X as @EtherealPathPGH. This is also our email address, etherealpathpgh@gmail.com. DMs are open on all of our platforms. The Ethereal Path podcast can be found on all major podcasting platforms such as Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Audible, Radio Public, Podcasts, and all other major podcasting platforms. Links can be found in our show notes. As always, please be sure to like, subscribe, and turn on your notifications. Every one of those clicks makes a huge difference. Thank you for listening, and blessed be.